Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. This segment is proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected honorable listeners of Sirius FM as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today our topic is on the laws of Ihram. The date today is the 29th of Shawwal, 1445. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa nazaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, how do we explain to a brand new Muslim what is the definition of Ihram?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before we go into all that, let us make our few announcements. Today in South Africa, Southern Africa, is the 29th of Shawwal, 1445. In Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa al-Mubarak, in 70-80-90% of the countries, today, Thursday, is already the first of Zulqa'dah. So that's one story we should know. Second, for us in South Africa, neighboring countries, Mauritius and so forth, tonight we should scan the sky. And day in Durban and so forth is 35 hours. And here by us in the Gauteng region is 36 hours plus minus. So inshallah, definitely we will see it with the grace and mercy of Allah to see the new moon and the crescent and so forth. So, and we should read the Sunnah Dua. I sent out again today the Masnoon Sunnah Duas. So everybody should try and make a concerted effort. In English we say good, better, best. So if you learn one dua, good. You learn two duas, better. And you learn all three duas, that's the best. So make a concerted effort, inshallah. And when we practice on one sunnah of Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what happens? Chapter 3, verse 31, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah. If you really love Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaculately, yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa yaghfir lakum thunubakum, and your sins will be forgiven. And I'll read all three duas now. And remember, tomorrow, inshallah, our program is in Heidelberg, my hometown, where I was born. Inshallah, we will translate the khutbah from there. So Sheikh Salih bin Humaid is the khatib and the imam for tomorrow in Makkah. So his khutbah, and then inshallah we will see if we're going to take the salat or not, because it depends how long his khutbah will be. And thereafter the translation and dua, and then I'll go to the town masjid there in Heidelberg and the Jummah masjid, and it's a historic masjid, the second oldest masjid, mashallah, in Transvaal, the oldest being the Kirk Street masjid. And then after Isha, Azan for Jummah is 12:20, and 12:30 is the Bayan and lecture, inshallah. And then there, Isha is 7:30, mashallah, in the township Masjid Shalimar Reach. So 7:30 after Isha, there'll be a talk, inshallah, there. And then Fajr is 6 o'clock Saturday morning. So inshallah, after the Fajr Salat, so we will have some nasiha and that al-ishraq. So that is our program. And Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsaf's majlis this week after ishraq will be there in the Rainbow Masjid, inshallah. So all these other announcements. Come, I'll read and you'll read after me. So I'll read every sentence twice like, so you also read it and we all practice on it, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. So this one I think many people know. Allahu Akbar, hilalu khayrin wa rushdin. These words, hilalu khayrin wa rushdin, are mentioned in Abu Dawood. Ya Allah, make this month, whichever month it is, now the month of Zulqa'dah, a month of khayr and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness. So that's one dua straightforward. Second dua mentioned on the authority of Ubadah bin Swamit radiallahu an, he's buried there, remember, in Aqsa, next to Aqsa al-Mubarak, the Maqbara al-Rahma, the graveyard of mercy. And he and Shaddad bin Aws, the Sahaba, buried there, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So anyway, so remember that he says in the hadith in Musnad Ahmad that the Master alayhi salam taught us the dua when a new Islamic lunar month starts. So read, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Every Muslim is supposed to know that. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then, Allahumma inni as'aluka, Allahumma inni as'aluka, khayra hadha shahr. Khayra hadha shahr. Ya Allah, I'm asking you for the best of this month. See, so that sentence also is finished. And then, wa a'udhu bika, and thereafter I seek your protection. Min sharri al-qadr, wa min sharri al-qadr, I seek your protection from evil destiny, from evil destiny. And wa su'il hashr, Ya Allah, on the day of justice, I mustn't be in the wrong camp. We must be under the liwa un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the banner of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the last part, wa uzu bika min sharri al-qadr. Wasu'il hashar. Okay? So that is Musnad Ahmad. Musnad Ahmad, you must always know who the Ravi reporter is. He is Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu. Then the last dua, authentic Sahih hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma ahillahu alayna. Allahumma ahillahu alayna. Oh Allah, let this new moon and crescent loom upon us. Bil-amni wal-iman, bil-amni wal-iman, with safety, security, protect and preserve our iman, with salamati wal-islami wal-tawfiq. Ya Allah, protect and preserve our Islam, and grant us tawfiq, the divine ability. So what it will be? Bil-amni wal-iman, with salamati wal-islami wal-tawfiq. Lima tuhibbu wa tarudha. I say those words, I do those actions that are beloved to you and pleasing to you. Lima tuhibbu wa tarudha. Rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. Ya Allah, you are my sustainer, nourisher, and you are the sustainer, nourisher, provider of the terrestrial creation and the celestial creation. So yea, on the land saying, you are the creator. And there on top, all the moon, all the sun, all the so planets and whatever else we know, we don't know. So the stars and what have you. So you are the only creator, Ya Rab. So beautiful dua. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman. Wassalamati wal islami wa tawfiq. Lima tuhibbu wa tarudha. Rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. MashaAllah, Maulana Ahmed Dokrat recites those duas and we sent it out with his beautiful voice. Jazahullah khairan, inshallah, we'll go straight till 12 o'clock without the break, inshallah. So that's already. Now let's start. From South Africa, Europe, America, you went to Madinah Munawwara. You read your Salat and Salam daily, and you visited all the important places in Madinah Munawwara. Now the day came for departure, your last day in Madinah Munawwara. So what should you do? You should cry to Allah. Ya Allah, whatever humble, broken ibadat we did here in Madinah Munawwara, chapter 2, verse 127. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim. Oh, beloved Allah, accept from us, Ya Allah. Because we know it's not 100% on par. It's a broken, humble effort. But you accept it because you are Allah, all-hearing and all-knowing. Then second one, then in Urdu it sounds very nice. Ya Allah, bar, 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 hazri nasib farma dije. Ya Allah, bring us to Medina to Rasul again and again and again. You see? So what you say? Bar, bar, hazri nasib farma dije. Ya, in English, in Arabic, whatever, in your normal dua, not in Salat. So, Ya Allah, bring me time and again and again and again to Medina to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then one more dua. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, man istata'a minkum ay yamuta bil madina fal yamut fiha fal yamut biha fa inni ashfa'u lakum. That whosoever of you can pass away in Medina Munawwara with Iman, Islam obviously, then I'll intercede for you, authentic hadith. So, Ya Allah, when the time of death comes, take me to Medina Munawwara. So words like that we should be. Now, before you left South Africa, or you are in Medina, so your agent normally is there, he's not there, then his representative is there. So you must know exactly what means of transport you got from Medina to Makkah. So nowadays you got various options. And when I used to go and we used to go take groups and so forth, then it was just three options basically. So people would go with the bus and majority would go in the bus, and that's what the agents want. Now remember, Hajj is very different from Umrah. When you land in Medina, you land in Jeddah and wherever, then the authorities there will take your passport away. You call that authority Muassasa. So Muassasa means foundation. So there you won't have your passport till the day you return from there after Hajj. They'll give you a card with your photo, snap and whatever you, and you'll keep it with you. Or that's your passport, that's your ID and everything. So what happens now? So you can go by bus. That's the arrangement you made with the agent which you paid him already in advance. Or if you want to go with a private taxi or this and so forth. So nowadays it's very difficult, but I'm just giving you the options. So then you have to go to Muassasa yourself and you have to get clearance. And if they give the go ahead, then they will allow you. If they say no, then you can't go. And if you got a good agent, then he will go on your behalf and so forth. So these are the second option. Third option, you go by train. I never sat in the trains there in Makkah, Medina, because all that started afterwards. So anyway, you must remember, then you fasten your ihram, everything, your towels and all that in Medina, in the hotel. And then when you got your ticket, everything there, in there by the airport, there by the Mahattatul Qitar, by the railway station, so there they got masjid, everything. You must go early, obviously. And then you read your two rakat salat, or with salat time, you read your salat there. And then after that, you embark and go into the train. It's 1.5 hour or so from Medina to Makkah. But the problem with it is from your hotel to the railway station, taxi. And then you go in the train, and then where it stops in Makkah, again another taxi to your hotel. So all that you must remember. And you can't go with very big bags and all that. They don't allow that. So it must be like medium size and all that. There's super large bags they don't allow. There's a lot of stories and all that. So all that you should take cognizance of. So you got bus, then you got this private transport, then you got train, and you got plane. So I don't think many people use that, but I used to use that because I used to tell, first we used to go with bricks, Abu Bakr or Flywell, and thereafter we used to go, mashallah, with Hussein Khan and all that, TTW, travel into a world. So I used to tell them that, you know what, just book me in the plane, I'll pay you for that. The other time they used to tell us, no, you pay, don't pay, it's fine also. So that, because they make so much money out of us also, you understand? So anyway, so then we used to jump, go from there. Now if you're going by plane, I'm just giving you the options. So then you must remember, then you go with ihram, everything from your hotel. When you got your boarding pass, everything, then there is wonderful musalla facilities there at Medina Airport. Then you just read your two rakat salat there, and then you carry on. This two rakat salat is just nafil salat. You read it, good. You don't read it, there's no sin, there's no makruh, there's nothing like that. So you just make intention. Many times I have to do that to show the people, because the way some people carry on, they give this 2 rakat nafil salat more importance than the first salat. So you must remember. Jahil, you know, ignorant people they are, so you must remember. So at the airport you do it, and when the plane takes off, they'll announce and tell you. Now if you're going by road, so you must remember, in the train also, I'm sure they must be announcing, but before you start your journey, you just make your intention and everything. So then you know there's no mix-up. So if you're going then by, let's say by bus, so then you will go from Medina, then they take you to Bir Ali. Bir Ali is Bir Ali singular, Abar Ali plural. The well of Ali, the wells of Ali. This got nothing to do with Sayyidina Ali. This got to do 105, 108, 107 years ago. Muhammad Ali Dafuri from Sudan, when he came there for Hajj and so forth, he realized there's a great shortage, paucity of water and so forth. So he got his team and they dug up wells and so forth and boreholes. And the people were so elated, delighted, they forgot the original name also. The Miqat's name, this is the boundary now, when you're coming from Medina going to Makkah, is Zul Hulayfa. What's the name? Zul Hulayfa. That's the name Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa utilized. From there, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the intention for Umrah, made the intention for Hajj and all that. But people today forgot the original name, most of them, they just call Bir Ali, Abar Ali. Bir, one well. Abar, several wells, okay? Or boreholes, whatever. Like Bir Zamzam, like that. So the well of Zamzam, like that. Okay, now when you are there, there are three scenarios. One is the male, one is the female, and one is the Haiza, that is the lady in a menses, okay? So you got three different categories of people. So you, the man, so remember, I'm breaking it up for everybody to make it easy. So you must remember that when you took your bath, there they got wonderful facilities, you can take a bath there also. So you must remember Masjidul Miqat, you understood? The actual name of that masjid is Masjidul Shajara. The actual name is Masjidul Shajara. In time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a 3 day and so forth, so they called it Masjidul Shajara. But now it's just Masjidul Miqat, everybody knows that. And wonderful, wonderful. I make ghusl there sometime. In a hurry, I say, nah, I'll just make ghusl there, what is there, fasten there. So, but for you, you don't do all this. Now when you are in Medina, or there at the masjid, and now you want to take a bath, you use your soap, you use your shampoo, you use your shaver for the unwanted hair, all that, you use your nail clipper, all that. You're not in ihram as yet, so no restrictions will apply to you. Are we clear on this now? So we must be know all these things there. So all that. Now some people are so technical, they say, no, I wash my ihram with that. Why the things they call? It's got a nice scent, you understood what they call? Something that, anyway, stay soft and all that. Yeah, that's the word. Stay soft and what and all, and it got fragrance. You can do whatever you want to, it's all permissible, remember that. Okay, so now you finish with that, you dried yourself. Now I'm speaking of the men. So when you're going to fasten your ihram, you keep your feet wide apart, remember that. And then you fasten your lower garment. If you're going to keep your feet together, then walking, you'll walk like Mickey Mouse. You won't be able to walk properly. So therefore, you keep your feet wide, wide apart. Okay? And then whether you got Velcro ihram, it's got that automatic belt, or you got your belt, you normally wear with your trouser, so that is fine. You got trouser like us, you know, that we wear the nara, the string, you understand? You take that out and just put it on, you understand? So it's fine. You wear the ihram belt that got some pockets and that for money and all that, so that also is fine. So when they say you can't wear stitch clothes, it don't mean literally stitch. You can't wear normal clothes, asiyabul adiya. I can't wear izar, I can't wear kurta, I can't wear underwear, vest and all that. You can't wear shirt and trouser and safari suit and all like that. So that's the meaning of it. You understood? For the men, obviously. And so that, and then the upper garment, you just throw it over like a shawl. So you got it? So the, make sure at all times you, the man, from above the navel to below the knees, that portion must be covered unless you're going to relieve yourself and so forth. Okay? If you want to take a spare ihram also is good, because you know sometimes you brothers, you'll have a lot of issues. That you get ihtilaf. time and wet dream and so forth, especially Hajj days, and there 3-4 days, 2-3 days you have to stay in the Ihram. So depending when you're going to fasten the Ihram and so forth. But it's not necessary. And so that is the men's one is done. Then you enter the masjid and then you read 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid separately and 2 rakat salatul ihram. If you want to make just 2 rakats and multiple intentions, so that also is fine. Qul ya al kafirun after surah fatiha and qul wallah after surah fatiha. Okay, so that is for the men's story. For you human, everything the same, but for the men, only thing obviously you will be in your normal clothes. Okay. But now with you ladies, there's 2-3 different issues also we have to discuss. Remember, for Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, is wajib, compulsory, you must wear socks. Whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Hong Kong, or you're in Nigeria, or you're in Zambia, Zimbabwe, or wherever, is wajib, compulsory, you must wear socks. You're going to the shop, you're going to the hospital, you're reading Salat, you must wear. You Hanafi ladies, you don't have to wear, is mustahab, but I'm telling you, you must wear and should wear now. When you are leaving Medina and going to Makkah, you must wear socks. Why I'm telling you that? Socks or stockings or whatever, but nice ones, not the see-through and transparent tin ones and the proper ones you must wear. Imagine your wife, your daughter, your sister, your mother is performing tawaf. So obviously in Umrah, you have to perform tawaf. You have to perform sa'i between Safa and Marwa. The crowd is big, somebody else, strange man completely, is touching your toes, is touching your heels, is touching your feet. It's right that the sin is on you. You, my sister, Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Aisha, whatever. Why? Why you didn't wear socks? And Quran Kareem states, Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 25, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So remember for the women that and the men that if you make intention, any intention like this harami, murtad bin shaitan, you understood? Now they got prostitution also. I sent it out to thousands of people. You understood? They in the name of misyar and all that. 100% prostitution, just like the kuffar, Shia, got muta. Very similar to that. So therefore we say Shia the kuffar, and we say MBS and his government are also kuffar. And the Salafis have sold the ummah out wholesale and retail. You must remember that. Therefore I speak against them. Why they don't speak against him? So, now see, Quran says in Makkah, in the Haram, Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, M3, 3M, the Haram. Arafat is out of the Haram. Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, that constitutes the Haram. Who makes intention in the Haram, bi ilhadim of deviation, bi zulmin and oppression, nuziqhu min adabin alim. We will unleash a painful, terrible punishment for you. So I'm asking you, going for Umrah, Hajj, or you're going for holiday, or honeymoon, or shopping, or what? So you must wear. I mean, doesn't it make sense, Mozart? So I must remember that. We can't be lakir ka fakir, you know. No, it's not written in a kitab like that, you know. Allah gave us aqal also, you know. So we must use our brains also. So that's why I'm very, very strict on this here. All you people must wear this. Right. Then that is sorted out. Now, you ladies, this is ijma'an. You can't wear gloves in ihram. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. وَلَا تَلْبَسُ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ. You can wear your watch, you can wear your glasses, contact lenses for male, female. You can wear, you must remember, your jewelry for your females. All that is permissible in the haram. You understood? You want to wear your bangles, you want to wear your ring and whatever. All that permissible, no problem with that. I'm not saying you must. I'm saying if you wish, you can use it. There's no problem with that. Okay, so that is our issues. Now we come to the main one for the woman. Every day I'll get somebody asking this question. What about my niqab? Must I wear niqab or not in ihram? The hadith in Bukhari Sharif says, وَلَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمُحْرِمَةِ. A lady in ihram should not wear niqab. So that is what is in the hadith. If you look at the superficial meaning and so forth. But never ever in Islamic jurisprudence, in Islamic law, you look at one Quranic verse, you look at one hadith, and you just jump to conclusions and no. You have to look at all the verses regarding that topic. You have to look at all the ahadith regarding that topic and so forth. And then you go ahead and so forth. So we go to Abu Dawood. Our mother Siddiqatu bint Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, reports, when the Rukban, the strange man, used to come, then we used to take our niqab and all that, and our parda and hijab and what have you, and cover our faces. Go see in Abu Dawood, is there? So some simple, simple people, they say, no, this is for Azwaja Mutahharat. Okay. What will you say in Mu'attaima Malik Asma bint Yazid's hadith is there? She says, when the strange man used to come, then kunna ay nukhatte, we used to make nukhammiru hujuhana, we used to cover our faces. You understood? So, Quran is telling you, you must remember Surah 33, verse 59, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. So it don't mean that you're going to keep your face open. If you keep your face open in Makkah, then what's going to happen? Remember, Allah's curse comes on you. In the holiest place, you're opening your face. Therefore, our Ustad, our Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabun, is the books he wrote, a masterpiece. And I make shukr every day. Makkah, we had Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, and in Medina, we had Sheikh Umar Falata, the African Sheikh from Nigeria. 49 years, he taught Hadith Sharif in Masjidun Nabawi. But when we used to sit there by them, we used to kiss their hand, kiss their forehead like that, you know. So, cut long story. So, even this Hadith we send out every day, I use the copy Ibn Majah, what Sheikh Umar Falata gave me. Masterpiece copy that is. So anyway, the point I want to make here is this. So the Hanafis and them say, if you wear a cap, you know, and then that parda will come, it won't touch you. But it's not easy, it's difficult for a woman. So if you wear a normal parda, normal niqab and so that also is tikche, fine, it will be acceptable. And after your umrah is finished, just give out 40 riyals or so. You see, sadaqah, finish, end of the story, khalas. Okay? So that is, don't make long stories and don't go ask this one and this one and this one. That for our women, I know, my wife and all of them, very, very difficult it is. You must remember this type of things. You understood? They can't even see if they're walking properly and all that sometimes. So Islam don't say now you must make so much difficulty. If you can manage, manage. You can't manage, then just wear the normal. So first will be with the cap. Second will be the normal. Okay? And then you give four. There's no dam. Dam means to slaughter a goat or a sheep and all that in Makkah. Now, that woman is sorted out also, right? Now we come to the third one. Lo and behold, that your Suleiman's wife, let's hear Suleiman. So see, because you got no wife, so now, So we're advertising he wants a wife, you see. So now you got no wife. So now if I take Zahid's name or his wife's name, then they all got stories. So we take Suleiman's wife's name, you see. So Suleiman and his wife went. Suleiman made Hajj, mashallah. So now he's going to go with his wife. So now and that, for honeymoon and what, I don't know what. Anyway, So now when he left Medina, now they come there to the Zulhulayfa, to Bir Ali, the Miqat. Lo and behold, when she saw the Miqat, and now Paki started. Now what? So much hopes, aspiration. But Allah Jalla Wala, in His infinite grace and mercy, allowed for all these situations to happen. See, I give you three different incidents. And everyone, great people, the greatest of people. When they left on 25th of Zulqa'dah, you must remember, on a Saturday, 10th of the Hijrah. And everybody was in normal clothes. They spent their Saturday night there in Zulhulayfa, Bir Ali. And then Saturday, Sunday, after Zuhur, they made their intention and then the Hajj journey started. Our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha, her initial intention was to make Tamattu Hajj. So she made intention for Umrah only. She made intention for, all of you going to make intention for Umrah. Because you're performing Tamattu Hajj, especially you first timers. Don't go try anything funny. You must make Tamattu Hajj. Okay. Lo and behold, when they came 25-30 kilometers still left to go to Makkah, so where it is called, you must remember, you understand, that place you must remember, that is A. Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha, is Sarif, the place name. Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi Sarif, wa bana bi fi Sarif. So there in that area, there Hana Pakistan. Now this is that fourth, they're entering on the other Sunday now. So what must I do? Okay, you carry on and see. Now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're leaving for Mina. What must I do now, Ya Rasulullah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faskhul Umrah ila al-Hajj. Cancel your Umrah and make Hajj. So what Hajj she made? She made Ifrad Hajj. Okay? So it shows it happened to Siddiq Hazrat Aisha. She was in menses. One incident. And then on the 14th, the night of the 14th, so you must, like tonight will be the first of Zulqada, the night comes first, you know. So the night of first Zulqada tonight, inshallah. Okay. So remember that when they were about to leave 14, she was crying, Ya Rasulullah, all the wives made Umrah and Hajj, I only made Hajj. Then go with your brother and went to Tan'im and performed the Umrah, you see. So her Umrah Hajj got done like that. But everybody's Umrah was first and then Hajj. Her Hajj was first, then Umrah. You got it? So, right. So, that is finished now. Then, they at Zul Hulayfa, at Bir Ali, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his honorable wife, who? Asma binti Umays radiallahu anha. She gave birth there. Subhanallah, the Saturday evening. So, to who? To Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. So, now she is from the Nufasa. The lady who got nifas, and next day they have to travel. So what must I do, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi alayhi salam said, Ikhtasili, make ghusl. This ghusl is not for taharat. It's not that your nifas is finished. No, it's for just nazafat, your personal hygiene. But you still napa. You understood? So same thing you will do. You make your ghusl, you do everything. And then when you come there, you make intention, you can't read salat, you can't enter the masjid, and you just make intention. How you make intention, I'll explain that now. So you don't have to cry in anything. So we gave you example of Siddiqa Hazrat Aisha. We gave you example of Sayyida Asma binti Umays. Lo and behold, now the Hajj is finished, everything finished, nice time for departure. Everybody has to perform Tawaful Wida, the farewell Tawaf. Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, the honorable wife of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Siddiq Hazrat Aisha went, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Safiya got her menses. Now this is in the Auda when they're returning, about to return. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, that did she perform the Tawaful Ifada? Tawaful Ifada, Tawaful Ziyara, same thing. Hanafi say Tawaful Ziyara, Shafi's, Maliki say Tawaful Ifada. Everybody agrees it's first. Did she perform? So they said yes. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, no problem. Idan fanfiri. Then we go, no problem. Allah Jalla Wala in His Hikmatullah al-Baligha and His greatest wisdom, allowed these incidents to happen in the time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it will become a, you must remember what you call it, a for posterity. What you call it? That term. So the nice term, and I always use it also. So you must remember what the term. So. A standard, but we don't use the word standard for posterity, you must remember. Like in the courts, you use a precedent. So it will become like a precedent for humanity and posterity. You understand? So this set the precedent. You must remember that. So this is the precedent set for humanity. So this, see all different scenarios. You got it now. So Tawaful Wida is wajib for people who come from far overseas. Or, but except a lady who is in haiz. For her, it's saqit, it falls off. Tawaful, not Tawaful Ziyara, Tawaful Wida. So you see all that. Now we are there by the Bir Ali. We are way by the station and so forth and all. Where are we? By the airport in Medina. So all the same laws. Now you're going to make intention for Ihram. And you're going to make intention for your Umrah, not Hajj. You're performing Tamattu Hajj. Tamattu Hajj means you're making from the Miqat intention for Umrah only. And when you are in Azizia, when you are in Mina, when you are in Azizia, even Mina, but leave Mina out so you get confused. So in Azizia, or you are in Makkah, so then on the 8th of Zulhijjah, then you will do the same thing, only thing your intention will change. Now you will make intention of Hajj. Are we clear? Alright, now let us go with the sequence of events. First, you, my brother, sister, you will read 2 rakat salat. This 2 rakat salat is Salatul Ihram. This 2 rakat salat is what? Is your 2 rakat nafil salat. You read it good. You don't read it, no problem. And Surah Fatiha and then Qul Ya Kafirun. Surah Fatiha, Qul Huwa Allah. You can make multiple intentions in the masjid. So Tahiyyatul Masjid, Salatul Hajat, and Salatul Shukr, Salatul Ihram. See how many intentions you made. After your salam, then you say in Arabic, if you know it, otherwise any language. I'll say it twice. Allahumma inni uridul umrata. فَيَسِّرْهَا لِي وَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي So Mawlana Zahid Khan hasn't performed Hajj.
Sure.
Right, so now you will say that. You'll see why I'm saying like that. So you will say, Allahumma inni uridul umrata. فَيَسِّرْهَا لِي وَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي Ya Allah, I make the intention of Umrah now. Make easy for me and accept it. So first your salat, then your intention. You say these words, you pronounce it, you utter it. And thereafter, from now already, learn the labbaik. Ayyul hajji afdal ya Rasulullah. Which hajj is the best? The hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. Al-ajju wa-sajju. Al-ajju raf'u sawt. Raise your voice, raise your voice. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. For the men, women softly. And slaughter the animal. Dame shukar hadi. So in Tamattu you have to slaughter. And Quran also. Now, your salat is finished. Your intention is finished. Then labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Read loud, 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 loud. Let everybody read. I have to get the youngsters, come on, come in front with me. So sometimes they get stuck, then I just prompt them and so forth, you understand? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. When you, Suleiman, you're going to prepare this podcast, you must write laws regarding Ihram. So remember that. Then people will know what's happening. So now you are in the state of Ihram. English, now you are in the state of consecration. You, my sister, in menses, no salat for you, no entering masjid. You just make intention in any language and read labbaik. Finish. Now you are in Ihram. We clear now? So that is. Now, once you are in that state of consecration, you are in the state of, see, I give you example, simple. Just now, after 1 hour, we'll be reading Zuhr Salat, inshallah. So when we start Salat, what we say? Allahu Akbar, what we call it? What we call it, Mawzaid?
Takbir-e-Tahreema.
Takbir-e-Tahreema. So, what it means? That we saying Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Tahreema. We're making certain things haram now. We can't eat, we can't drink, we can't talk, we can't walk and all this type of thing. You can't be walking around and all that. So all those things are halal. But for that duration, it becomes haram. So takbir tahreema. You got it?
Sure.
So now we're entering the state of ihram. The towels are called ihram, all that, that is figuratively. But the real ihram is the state you are entering into, the state of consecration, the state. Now when you are in that state, Quran Kareem tells you, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 197, فَلَا رَفَثَ. How you say, لَا إِلَهَا النَّفْيُ لِلْجِنْسِ. A nafyul jins. You're negating everything. There is no deity. There is no God, small g, whatever. Illallah, except Allah. You see? So God, capital G, like if you want to make it, people understand. Right. So, fala rafasa, no husband-wife talk. Now, Suleiman is going with his wife in the bus. They're sitting next to one another. He holds her hand. Oh, Poppy, oh, my sweetheart, oh, my darling, how smooth your hands are. All haram, you can't do all this kind of thing. All that, before you go into ihram, is sunnah that you sleep with your wife and fulfill the conjugal. That's also a sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu salam did so there in Zul Khalifa, to set the precedent for humanity and posterity. So when you're in ihram, you don't think of all those things now. You finished now, you fulfilled your last and desire. You got it. We must understand these things here. Yeah. Now the old man will say, what must I do? Or the lady will say, but having men says, what must I do? So now you know all. You can just sort things out. You must remember before that. Okay. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ. No sins. Ghibat is ghibat. You must remember, but we backbite in ihram. Smoking is not permissible. Now you go smoke in ihram. Absolutely haram. So you're looking around, you're looking at other guy's wife, other guy's husband, other one this and all. You see? So all that. So you're in ihram, you are duyufur rahman. Remember the guest of Allah, the slogan of a lover, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So guard the ears, guard the eyes, guard the tongue, guard everything. So wala fusuqa. So to commit fusuq means al-khuruj anita'a, to go out of the ambit and the boundary of virtue and you enter vice. You got? That is fusuq. So sin is a sin, but Allah is telling you don't commit sin. It's like this, a person swears outside the masjid and then he swears inside the masjid. So which one is worse? Obviously, in the masjid. So yeah, Allah is telling you sin is a sin, but now you're in ihram is even worse. You got it? That is the wisdom of wala fusuqa. Then people, they blow their fuses and confuse. The heat, it will be 40, 45, 50 degrees in midsummer, June time and that. It's very hot. So you get very angry and so hungry sometimes. Angry, all that. So wala jidala. Sometimes husband, wife, they're fighting. Sometimes you and your agent, you're fighting. Sometimes you and the driver are fighting and all that. You took the wrong turn. Oh, the police told him, just go, you see. So you can't do all these things. You're spoiling your ihram, you're spoiling your umrah, you're spoiling your hajj. You got? So you need bags and bags of sabr also. So we need to understand, these are the laws. So it is salat time, so you must then perform salat, stop and read your musafir. So zuhur time, 2 rakat, asr time, 2 rakat. Normally they travel that time there. So you must remember, they won't take you at night normally, unless you got a crazy agent or something, you understood? So remember that. Because before that, maghrib and that, you must be in Makkah, inshallah. You have to sort out your room, your hotel, all these things. So it takes you 6-7 hours with the bus. Why? Because you can't just go hotel to hotel. You must go Muassasa. And then Muassasa will collect the passports. And then they also sometimes half asleep. And so, sometimes they sharpshoot. So it's not hotel to hotel. It's hotel to Muassasa. You got? So you must remember that. Hajj time things change. You must remember that. Okay. And therefore, before you depart, go and relieve yourself and all that properly. Because you can't just go stop when you feel like. They'll stop 1-2 places if you've got a good driver. Otherwise, they don't even stop some drivers. They'll tell you, you understand, Makkah or something. And if you don't, anyway, anybody speaking Arabic is another problem also. So anyway, these are just certain issues. 1-2 issues came now in my head, you understood, which I supposed to tell you all about ihram. Yeah, you can eat and drink and all that, you understand, there's no problem. And what else there is, and read labbaik and so forth, so all that is done. So you made intention of umrah only. So that umrah, all that we'll discuss next week. Now we're discussing what ihram. Yes, now let's start from the top. Yeah, let's start from the top. Ihramur rajuli fi ra'sihi. So when I'm in ihram, so all my salats I'll be reading with my bare head. My head will be uncovered. You must remember, it won't be covered. No topi, no hat, no turban, nothing. You got it? And then in my ihram. And when you read salat in ihram, both sides, the shoulders must be covered. You understood? That this thing, istibah, the exposing of the right shoulder for the man, and that is only for tawaf, not before tawaf. People, they make mistake and all that, you know. So all this kind of thing, right. And then sandals. Sandals are a big chakkar for the men. They will argue and so. Understand the whole issue now properly. You see, I got sandals on now here. It's outside the studio, obviously. So that I got sandals on. So you wear sandals, you wear shoes, anything you wear is all permissible. According to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbalis. Why? Only your ankles must be exposed straight forward. So what's so difficult in that? So according to majority scholars, Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbalis, for the men, that remember only the ankles must be exposed. Okay? So you can wear a normal shoe, normal sandal, whatever you want. Only the Hanafis, and then our people will make so much confusion. So the men, so they send me the photo and thus, and send me the right angle and left angle, and I don't know what and what. Simple Bapa, is this only for Hanafi men? That your ankles will be exposed, you look at your feet, you will find there in the middle there is a bone. See this, we call metatarsal. In Arabic, here it's called Ka'b. You see this? If you don't have this bone here, you better go to check the doctor. There's something missing there. So you'll see here, there's a bone here between your big toe and between your ankles. You'll see there's a big toe. You see this? So Ka'b means a thing that is a little bit like protruding, like high. So Kaaba is called Kaaba, therefore also like that. You see, because it's high, makan on murtafi. Ankles are called Ka'b. Same thing, because it's something. You understand that is exposed like that. Woman's breast is also called Ka'b. Wakawa iba atraba. You see? Quran speaks of that. So that is what is the meaning. You must remember this. So this is Ka'b. You got it? So this. So this portion, that metatarsal must be exposed. And you can wear, in simple terms, you know the beach tongue. You got one strap going this way, one going that way, right and left. So that's good. But some people don't like because it hurts them here between the toes. Like I don't like that too much. So you wear hang ting. You know hang ting like that? So like that. You got a belt that is across, you see. Your toes can be covered, no problem like this. So that is fine, whatever. The one person, he passed away, I did his janaza also. He made a special shoe for me. It must be lying somewhere, I don't know. I give it away, I don't know. So you must remember, he made a special shoe for me. So people used to wonder, you are wearing shoes. I said, yeah. He used to make special shoe, so my toes are covered, all this are covered, but my ankles are exposed and this portion is exposed. You see? So he used to manufacture shoes. So very nice, tight, comfortable and all. So anyway, so that is the shoe story, sandal story. So that also our people, too much confusion. So that's for nothing they'll make argument, you know. Jahalat, they don't understand, you understand. So that is over there. You woman, now you in the bus. Right? Let's take al-fiqh al-waqi, practical examples. Now it's not easy. For me, it's very easy to tell you. It's a 5-6 hour journey. They stop you here and stop you here. And then you come to Makkah, the traffic jam and lot of stories. And then the police will trouble you. And not this road, go that road and lot of stories. So you must, therefore me, I just used to go by plane and just jump in a taxi and just go. Just to make me mix up these people. So you must remember that there is no problem. Quick, you there. So I used to tell them, I'll leave after you, I'll be there before you. Inshallah. All right. So anyway, you must remember. So now, Namona Zahid, you are the big Sheikhul Islam. Now somebody come and ask you, we're going in the bus. Now, okay, your wife, my wife, this, we're covering. But let's say the wife opens the face for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then what happens in a case like that? I mean, they're also human beings. It's not easy to be in the bus and just like that. So you must tell them if they open it for a little while and so forth and all that, and they look down and then nobody's looking at them, then it's fine, you know, for 2-3 minutes or so something. They want to eat or something like that, you know. So they pick up that niqab a little bit, and so it's no problem in that. You got it? So we mustn't be now, it's like they must be fasting all the time. Another story, then she will blow her gasket also, you must remember. So we need to be a little bit flexible on these issues also. Okay, for you women, I told you, you must wear your socks and stockings and all this. Right, now one more issue, then we're done. Our Suleiman Mota, he performed Hajj already. Right? His father is marhum. Allah give him, grant him Jannatul Fir. Oh, yes. Our brother, Sheikh Aminuddin of Mozambique, Maputo, his brother Abdul Khalik passed away, and today janaza, just now will be janaza. I think 12:30 or 12:30 is azan or salat there, Masjid Hamza, Matola. So there in Mozambique. So his brother Abdul, I sent the message and then he replied and everything, we spoke like that. So anyway, so I told him I'll announce it. So remember, Sheikh Aminuddin, we stayed in the same room, we studied together in Karachi. So his brother Abdul Khalik, I met him also. See, he passed away. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Those of you who want to attend the janaza, you can still make it there. So you got half an hour, 45 minutes or so. So you go there to Matola, Masjid Hamza. So there the janaza salat will be, and then the burial. Allah Ta'ala grant him all the marhumin Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. And grant the family Sabri Jamil. We come back, this is the last issue, then we're done. Okay. So you must remember, Suleiman Mota, he performed Hajj. His father passed away, rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. I'm not sure whether he performed Hajj or not, but we assume Suleiman is saying he performed Hajj. But let's say he didn't perform Hajj, just for our example. So Suleiman wants to make Hajj Badal, Hajj Anil Ghair, you understood, on behalf of his marhum deceased father. Okay? So what happens in a case like that? Now he's there in Zul Hulaifa, he's there in Bir Ali. Now he's scratching and playing with his topi, because he's going to enter Ihram, he'll take a bath there. And he's playing with his beard and all that. He says, what must I do now? So this is what you do, the proper method. So you're going to make the Umrah, if you're making Tamattu Hajj on behalf of the deceased, it's permissible, there's no problem. So you say, Ya Allah, that this Umrah I'm making on behalf. Now let's say you're making it on my behalf. So you say, Hazil Umrah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, O Rabb, is on behalf, Ain Noon. An Abdul Qadir bin Ismail Hussein. You take my name and you take my father's name, or whatever. If you don't know, just take the person's name and surname, finish. Then you say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. So the Umrah you performing, but you're performing it on behalf of that deceased person. You got it? So when you're performing it, you take his name when you're making the intention. So both of you will get the sawab, you will get the reward for performing it. And he, the marhum, the deceased in it, will get the reward. So you must remember, because they gave you the money to go and perform the Hajj on his behalf and so forth. You got it?
Sure.
And if you like me, that we perform Hajj, Umrah several times with Allah's help, mercy and all, then I used to just make intention, Ya Allah, this Umrah I'm making from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time, right to Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Muslims, and in the Master alayhi salatu salam, right till the last child who come and got Iman for everybody. So minal bidaya ila nihaya, everybody. So I meet people, I say, I made Umrah for you, I made Hajj for you, I made Tawaf for you. So my nephew and nieces could never understand. You say, you're shooting us left, right and center. How can you? So that's what I mean. You understood? So that is how Allah make easy. Alright, we finish now. 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with Maulana Salim Kareem. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners of Sirius FM, as well as Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.